And thank you very much. And it's a pleasure to be here to provide an overview of the International Year and its various achievements and objectives and, in some sense, outcomes that have already occurred during 2015. This presentation is just going to be a short one of 10 minutes or so, and then I'll introduce the other speakers so you know who they are and how the session will work. So if anyone in the audience is crazy enough to want to organise an international year, I should tell you should start about six years before the intended date. So the international year project began in 2009, issuing from discussions amongst some scientific societies about how best to promote the theme of light and photonics, which we knew was extremely important. In December 2013, the UN General Assembly made the formal declaration of the International Year with a number of specific goals to provide, to promote how light science can provide technological solutions to problems that affect the world, to promote education and science and engineering, and more generally to improve links between science and society through outreach activities around the theme of light. Now, of course, you have to ask the question, why do we focus on a theme of light? Well, one obvious answer is just to look at how lighting is distributed around the world. So this is a fairly common picture which shows a distribution of people around the world, and you can see how there's lots of people in India, a high concentration in West Africa, and a more uniform distribution around the world. Now, I'd like you to focus on Africa in particular, because I'm going to show you a satellite picture taken from space about the distribution of public lighting around the world. And so you see that where there's most people doesn't necessarily correspond to where there's most light. And Africa is extremely dark. Now, from a point of view of light pollution, it's a success story, but from the point of view of development and infrastructure, it's a failure. So that shows not, in this sense, lighting just is equivalent to the presence of any kind of infrastructure that provides electricity and services to a local community. Lighting itself has a direct impact on the future of areas of the world, because if your only source of light is the sun, then it means that in the evenings you cannot do any study, you cannot do homework, teachers can't extend the educational day. It also means that you have no possibility to check independently outside the school environment the things that you're being taught during the day. So light, in a way, enables a democratic approach to education where people can educate themselves. And these days, the absence of light means that there's an absence of electricity, which means there's an absence of internet access. So this is a dynamic chart which shows how internet access is used in a 24-hour cycle. And you can see, again, looking at Africa, that there's essentially very little internet access compared to the population density that we know is there. So once you establish that light is important, then you have to ask the question, why focus on 2015? Well, it turns out that 2015 is a remarkable year where there's a conjunction of a number of scientific anniversaries. I won't go through these in detail, but essentially that they cover the 1,000th year anniversary in antiquity in Baghdad with the publication of the first real compendium of optical knowledge by Ibn al-Haytham, to the 1965 invention of the optical fibre, without which the internet as we know it wouldn't exist. The International Year of Light is actually an International Year of Light and Light-based Technologies. It's the first international year with the word technology in the title, and that's very significant. And you have to ask the question, why have we put this word technology, which many scientists don't like, who prefer pure science? Well, from a purely economic perspective, light-based technology is an enormous driver. There's a world photonics market of $300 billion. There's a light-based technology has a growth rate worldwide around about 10% per annum, exceeding the growth rate in GDP by a factor of 4 or 5. There's a much larger multiplier effect of technologies in light science through job creation. There's 7 million jobs in the US are linked to light-based technologies in one way or the other, and that fraction is the same in most developed countries. And as we'll see, light-based technologies can provide real solutions to a number of challenges. An obvious one is energy. We all know that climate change is a hot topic of 2015 with COP21 in Paris. Typically, in any building, 20% of the energy expense is in lighting. In an older building like this, these are reasonably efficient lamps, but they are nowhere near as efficient as LEDs would be. So there are rollout programs around the world to try to improve energy efficiency through improved lighting. Also, smart design and architecture can also be very helpful in reducing the energy budget. There's a real impact of light-based technologies on development and the quality of life and health in developing countries. If you wish to understand how light-based technologies impact your daily life, take off your glasses if you wear them and try to work for a day. Right? Think of all the things you can't do. Can't drive, can't check in on a laptop because you can't read the screen properly, can't use a telephone. Right? It's terrible. And yet there's about a billion people around the world who could have eyeglasses but who don't. Now, these eyeglasses cost me €500 because they're progressive lenses, low-index glass, and a nice frame. But you can make a pair of functional eyeglasses for $1. Right? The eyeglass was invented 1,000 years ago in the principles of Ibn al-Haytham. It's a 10-century-old technology. It shouldn't cost €500. Right? And so there are programs throughout the year linking NGOs and eyeglass distribution with governments and with others. There are similar areas, as you can see. Some of them are very common: solar solutions, healthcare diagnostics, mobile internet, UV light, etc. So we have, since the opening of the year at UNESCO headquarters in January, we have really, the Year of Light Steering Committee has organised a few hundred events throughout the year. But I'm estimating about 5,000 events that we know about have actually taken place. We have a website where people tell us what they're doing, and we have trouble catching up and following what's actually happening. We have confirmed activities in over 120 countries. And one thing which has had particular interest is the fact that we've tried to bring together scientists and diplomats and politicians, which hasn't been done that much in previous international years. So we've held special forums at UNESCO headquarters with the executive board, for example, with Professor Amano, at major photonics conferences with the ADG Science of UNESCO. But there are also spontaneous things that are happening, such as the declaration of support for the International Year of Light by the Republic of Korean Parliament, where the Parliament had a special session on light technologies. And a recent event that I learned about this morning from Dr. Nellis in Islamabad from COMSATS, which is the North-South Interaction Agency. Now, light, to try to reach out to the public, it's very easy with light because it's a great symbol. And so there have been events and shows using light to promote light throughout the world. The point of this isn't just to put on a light show, but by putting on a light show, people come and see it. Once you've got their attention, you can then teach them about light science and have events and seminars and outreach activities for children and so on. Even the United Nations itself used lighting as a symbol on the 24th of October to celebrate United Nations Day, where monuments in over 300 monuments around the world were lit up blue in the United Nations Blue, from Egypt, Pisa, China, Brussels, Indonesia, and India. Now, lighting is all very well, but we also know that if you have too much light, then you forget where you are in the universe, you can't see the beautiful skies above us, and it also impacts our ability to sleep and just to have rest. And so the International Astronomical Union is working with the International Year of Light to promote awareness of dark skies and light pollution, and Claudia will be speaking about that in her presentation as well. There's lots of other areas of impact. There's 20 or so countries have issued special stamps to illustrate the International Year of Light. These are actually selling quite quickly, I believe, so if any of you are interested in collecting stamps, I don't think people do that anymore, but they're there, and they should be snapped up quickly. But what we're here today for is more to talk about the basic science part of the International Year. So the following talks will address how the basic light science is important in its own right and how it impacts on our appreciation of other areas of life. So the major journals such as Nature, Science and others have promoted light technology throughout 2015 in special issues and special articles. And we have a chance to have a series of thematic talks on some key topics in light science today. So the first will be given by Professor Hallas from Rice University, the second by Claudia Mignon from the European Space Agency and ESTEC. Unfortunately, Wolfgang Sandner is ill and he can't make it here this afternoon. He's kindly given me his slides to present a talk on his behalf, so that will be interesting. I look forward to seeing how I do. And then after this, we will have a moderated discussion, but I think if you have specific questions at the end of each of the speakers' talks, then I think we have time also to take them immediately afterwards. We're aiming for 15 minutes per speaker plus 5-minute questions, so we'll see if that works as well. And I'm looking forward to a very rich set of talks and interesting discussions afterwards. So thank you very much.